And we're back with Tommy Gomes also, who is a fifth-generation fisherman and runs Catalina Offshore Products down there by...
Lovelock.
Yeah, Lovelock down there. You got to get over there, folks. It's what's the main street there by Napa?
Marina Boulevard.
There you go.
Yeah.
By Napa. If you know where Tio Leo's is, you can find it, right? Tio Leo's.
Oh, yeah. Just wander around. You'll find it.
Exactly. And we're welcoming in this segment the co-founder of Dr. Fish, and she's also a founder of Community Seafood. She's got a master's in marine fisheries management from UC Santa Barbara. She's a crabber, a clammer, and a fisher, and her name is Sarah Rathbone. Welcome to the show, Sarah Rathbone.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah's the one who told me that you could call her a fisherman.
Yeah.
Fisherman.
Boy,
yeah.
What a resume you have, Sarah. This is unbelievable. You actually worked on a fishing vessel, and that's pretty hard work. Even for a guy, right?
I did and I didn't. I don't really like to claim that as as something that I accomplished, because I only lasted one season and realized that it was much more difficult than anyone ever thought possible. So
yeah.
I transitioned quite quickly to sort of a dock representative role, somebody who is representing the fishermen and speaking on their behalf.
But East Coast raised, born and raised, right? You grew up with, your dad in the Marsh Flats of Cape Cod. That's Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been there. I know where that is.
We have a lot in common.
Okay, we'll talk about that later, Tommy.
We're having a fish matchup right here.
And then you worked with the Spiny Lobster Boat full-time crew, and then you started up this Dr. Dish thing.
Dr. Dish, yeah.
I like this. Michelle, you must love this. From farm to table, and she's doing boat to table. So, which is what Tommy Gomes does as well. But anyway, what would you like to cover with Sarah this segment, Michelle?
Well, I want Tommy and Sarah to talk amongst themselves, because they're both doing great work trying to get the word out. And,
mm-hmm.
and really, look, I'm so glad that you raised the point about how hard it is to fish. This is what we say about, like, we have to remember once in a while that the people who actually raise, grow, or catch our food really work hard, and we ought to do what we can to support them. And particularly, look where we are in San Diego.
Yeah.
We have more farms per capita. We're surrounded by the ocean. We have lots of great fish. I mean, and yet most of us, expect to go to the store and want salmon and sea bass 7 days a week, when we have all this amazing stuff right here that A, would be better for us, B, better for the environment, and C, would support our community and our local fishermen. So take it from there, Sarah.
Yeah. Well, 10,000 farms in our county, by the way, right, Michelle? I learned that from one of your past shows. So
I keep forgetting the number. It changes.
But Sarah had such great talking points on her resume here. 90% of the seafood we eat is imported. Did you go over all that earlier?
Yeah.
Now, is it true that we've wiped out 90% of the big fish, large fish, in the last 50 years? I've been approximately. Is that about right?
There are global stats that are very concerning, and that circles right back to why you need to know where your fish is coming from. The fishermen who fish domestically, U.S.-based fishermen, they really are very well regulated, and our laws are so strictly enforced, and it's really time for you, the consumer, to start asking those hard questions about where their seafood comes from, so that we can start putting our money where our mouth is and making sustainable choices with our wallet. And that really starts with knowing where that product is coming from.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a problem that brought to my attention. You know, these the shark fin soup, and even in San Diego, they are killing sharks just for the shark fin, and it's tragic. I mean, you've been hearing much about this, Tommy?
It's illegal for a U.S. flag vessel to actively engage in that type of harvesting of anything.
But I think there's a black market going on, even in this county.
Not in San Diego.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you in touch.
I guarantee you
all
that.
All right, you and Bill Powers.
Because it's easier to live on your boat and fish off your boat than it is easier to live in your house and fish off your front porch. You don't want to lose your house, and that's what'll happen.
Well, this is the problem in this conversation, though, is that we do hear a lot about global statistics, and the global statistics are alarming in many instances, but that's why we keep saying, like, you don't want to sound jingoistic. However, there really is a difference. We have a lot of laws, and we enforce them. And so it does make a difference, so that if you do care about the environment, in addition to your own health and your community health, then buying local is the choice for you.
And I think, Michelle, you and I were talking about this. I don't think people really realize how that oversight, because fish is enigmatic. It's under the ocean. It's really hard for people to understand how many fish there are left. But what's important to know that is, in the United States, we log all of the fish that we bring in. Every single pound of fish that I buy on the docks directly from our boats is written down pound for pound, species by species, and all of that information is immediately transferred. It's actually moving to an electronic system to decrease the lag time between management decisions and enforceable action you can take in order to prevent overfishing from occurring in the United States.
So which federal agencies are in charge of that?
The Department of Fish and Wildlife is the one that that sort of starts to categorize all of that information, and then there's numerous others that put the management into place.
Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation Management Law, which is the one that sort of sets in place all of the research and all the statistics that are gathered each and every year to make sure that all our fish populations are, you know, being maintained.
But one thing that's being missed here is, yes, we are getting away with the paper logs and the log books and all of that, and we are going to be going electronics. The fishermen are going to pay for that. That's going to be another added expense to us, just like the eBurps and the trackers and the pingers and everything else that we have to put in our boats in order to fish. That expense is being put on us. It's not being paid by the U.S. tax dollars. It's not being subsidized by the American government. It's being paid out of our pocket, period.
Which is really, it's really shocking when you, I mean, that's a big, big issue, is looking at how subsidized our domestic farm activities are. And we have these well-cared for wild fish populations, and our fishermen are not being granted the same kind of aid to ensure their survival as a community.
Well, I remember we talked about earlier the idea that, you know, good food isn't cheap and cheap food isn't good, right? I mean, we, the consumers, are going to have to be prepared to pay a little bit more for fish that has been fished locally, appropriately, and in compliance with all the laws. And, you know, we've got to really own that.
But that being said, also, I mean, it's really important to note that, good fish isn't cheap and cheap fish isn't good, but there are some unexplored, underrepresented, unloved species that are out there that people have just never heard of because they keep coming back to the things that they know and that they're familiar with, the salmon, the tuna, the swordfish. And if we keep on hitting on those big top predator species, there will be a problem. We will fish them to dangerous levels. Mm-hmm. However, if you diversify your palate, if you go out of your way to figure out other types of species that are being caught domestically, you're doing your part in terms of the sustainability.
What would be some good suggestions in that regard?
I mean, Tommy and I were talking about the long spine thorny heads, short spine thorny heads. There's sorts of things.
What are they?
One
lobsters?
Thing that I learned, I fished for 7 different governments all over the world. I got boots on deck and time behind in a pilot house. So let me tell you.
That's why I'm not a fisherman.
The ugliest fish is the most tasty.
Really?
Yeah. Just like produce, Grenadier, by the way.
Grenadier is the ugliest fish you have ever seen.
Look at the monkfish.
The Grenadier is a bycatch of our black cod fishery. Yeah. They come from very deep down. It is the ugliest thing, just unequivocally, just
I'm cracking up because it is.
Bug it sounds eye, like we need the big ugly head, fish rat tail. It's got something, I mean, akin to dragon scales across
its head.
It is ugly, and it is one of the sweetest, most it's rich and flaky.
Let's
and
call it a delicacy.
It is. It really is. And it's just a shame that people do not explore all that the ocean has to offer.
We call it $13.95 a pound.
Well, not
Get it today. You heard it right here. I want to make this point. It's not just different, you know, species, but different parts, like how much, you know, gets cut and thrown on the last time we had an event like this, we asked Tommy, said, Tommy, save us all the cut scraps that fell on the floor for the weekend. And that's what we served. And people loved it.
You have to utilize the whole fish. The fish doesn't come out of the ocean in a box. So that Gordon's fisherman, he lied. Don't trust that guy.
So Tommy, one of your collaboration kitchens, we should have an ugly fish event or whatever. Yeah. And ugly and delicious. So
we need to start a campaign like the ugly fruit and veg campaign. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like this thing has been huge and it's made people realize this about produce, you know, how much we throw away and waste. And in this instance, we can reach out to the less beautiful population.
The underloved. They're underloved.
Well, the Berry Good Food Foundation puts a lot of those on. We'll talk more about that with Michelle Chikorin-Lirak when we come back.